Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
It has been a show of favorites today. Bruce Miles is one of my favorites, and so is Sean Hyken. I'm going to get him on in just a second, but I wanted to update you on what's going on inside the world of baseball. And I remember the Marlins games were postponed because of the COVID outbreak with the Marlins, and then the Philly series with the Yankees was postponed because they were playing the Marlins, and so that's a whole thing. Well, now there are a couple people inside the Phillies organization that have tested positive for COVID, so it looks like the Phillies series with the Blue Jays is also going to be postponed. And that's what the reports out there on a couple different networks are saying. The whole thing is just, we'll get some more of that coming up in a little bit. The NBA returns tonight. They have not had a positive test inside the bubble for 9 days, which is really good. It means that there can be some basketball played. So we could start actually talking about it like real basketball, kind of, right? Well, Sean Hyken does a great job of covering the NBA for Bleacher Report. He's a friend of the show. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Sean, happy reopening day of the NBA. I guess that's probably the way we should put it.
I guess. I mean, this is kind of weird.
No, it's 100% weird. And I'd love to know, like, what, now that you know that there are going to be games that are played tonight, what's on that notebook of yours of things that you're interested to find out?
I mean, we've kind of seen how these are going to look in terms of, like, how the different scrimmages are look in the preseason games, just kind of how the TV product look. It's actually not that different. Now, as far as the actual basketball being played, I'm obviously tonight is the Pelicans versus the Jazz and then the Clippers versus the Lakers. I'm interested to see Zion because, you know, this is kind of the NBA's second shot at getting him on opening night and on these big national TV games, which they scheduled the Pelicans on a bunch of during the season, but then obviously he had the knee surgery and now he's back. Like, they kind of expedited him through quarantine because they weren't going to go 0-2 on getting him on TV. But I mean, I'm interested in that tonight. Now, long-term, I think, you know, for this season, like obviously being based here in Portland, I'm interested to see if the Blazers are going to be able to grab the 8th seed now that they have Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins healthy. I'm also kind of interested in Oklahoma City. That's a team I think not enough people are talking about as one that could go further than maybe people expect.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Zion, who looks to be completely healthy now and completely in shape now, that in basketball shape. I'm not worried about, like, that explosion because that guy is incredible. Is that Pelicans team, are they too young to be bothered in this restart? Could they actually cause some trouble for everyone who's sticking around?
I think they could. It's just a matter of if their guys can stay healthy. Because, I mean, they've had different guys in and out of the lineup. But, you know, obviously Zion hasn't played in these exhibition games because he briefly left the bubble and then came back. So we haven't seen him in this environment yet. But the other guys on the team, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, those guys have looked really good. I think that team, I mean, they have a shot, and they have probably the easiest schedule out of any of those teams fighting for the eighth seed. But they also have a little bit of a disadvantage because of just the weird way the tiebreakers work. Because they won their season series 4-0 against the Blazers. So you would think that with them having the same record or the same winning percentage, they would have the tiebreaker, but they actually don't, because the Blazers played two more games than the Pelicans did. And so even though they technically have, you know, are tied in the standings, the Blazers are a couple of percentage points higher. So they actually have to finish with a better record than Portland and not just tie them, to actually get ahead of them to get, have a chance to actually like challenge Memphis to get to the eighth seed. So they have a little bit of an uphill battle in that way, but they're going to be interesting.
Let's talk about the team that a lot of people think have a chance to win it out west, and they're facing another team that people think have a chance to win it out west tonight. Lakers versus Clippers. When last we left LeBron and the Lakers, were they looking like a team that had put it all together, or are there still some flaws in the way that they're constructed and the way that they can go out and play in this restart?
I think they are probably the team, as far as the top teams go, I definitely trust them more than I do the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers have just had a bunch of different guys in and out. Obviously, Lou Williams is not going to be playing for the next little bit of time because he's still quarantining after his trip to Magic City. And then they have a few other guys who are out. But, the Lakers, they had just beaten the Bucks a few days before the shutdown, and that is seen as a potential finals preview. Obviously, it's been so long now that you don't know you can't really read too much into what happened back in March before the season shut down. And they're missing Rondo, who I know a lot of people are kind of writing that off. But as we know, having covered the Bulls when Rondo was there, playoff Rondo was a whole different thing. And that's real. And they're also missing Avery Bradley. So, it's going to be tough missing those two guys. But I think they're one of the better teams in the West still.
What about the Clippers?
Well, my thing with the Clippers, and this has kind of been my thing the whole year, even before the shutdown, is the Clippers just have not had a lot of games where they've had all their guys together, because Kawhi hasn't been playing on back-to-back. Paul George missed the first month or so of the season because he was recovering from the shoulder injury he had during the playoffs last year. And they just have had so many more guys who are in and out that when I'm thinking about the playoffs, and I'm thinking about especially an environment like this where everybody's kind of in this unfamiliar territory, I'm kind of more thinking I like the teams that have had their guys the whole year, that have just had that consistency and kind of know who they are. That's my one drawback with the Clippers. Obviously, in terms of pure on-paper talent, you can make the argument that they're the most talented team in the league, but I'm going to be interested to see if some of those, extra factors are what factor in here with, just how bizarre this whole situation is.
Who else do you think might have a chance to win the West?
Well, Oklahoma City is one that I mentioned earlier. And that's a team, like, not a lot of people talk about them because they trade Paul George, they trade Russell Westbrook. But, Chris Paul is having an all-NBA caliber season for them, even at his age. I think people kind of take him for granted. And then they just have so many other guys. They're also getting back Andre Robertson, who hasn't played in 2 years or so because he's had this patellar injury that he's kept having to recover from and had a couple of different surgeries on. But he's been back for these couple of preseason games. He looks pretty good. If he's even half the defender that he was, before he had these injuries, and that could be a huge piece for them. But that's a team that I would look at and say maybe Oklahoma City is going to surprise people.
What about the East? Is it just Milwaukee, or is there anyone that can contend?
Oh no, it's not just Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee is the favorite, but I've been pretty high on Toronto the whole year, even after losing Kawhi, because that's a team that. Even though they lost Kawhi, who's the finals MVP and is one of the five best players in the league, that's a team that had a lot of experience playing without Kawhi last year because he had his minutes limited and he was not playing on back-to-back. So those are all guys that have experience playing without him and actually have a pretty good record without him last season. And so that's why they kind of didn't miss a step, and they're still one of the best teams in the East. So that's one team. And then I think Miami is also kind of a team I would look at because, obviously we all know how good Jimmy Butler is, but I also think Bam Adebayo is one of the two or three guys in the league. It's like him, Kawhi, and LeBron when he's locked in. Are like the two or three guys in the league that can actually guard Giannis.
Why do you think Butler started he was super hot at the beginning of the season, but why do you think he thrived in Milwaukee?
In Miami, you mean?
I'm sorry, in Miami.
Well, it's just, I mean, we all kind of know how Jimmy is wired, and he's one of these guys who just, like, doesn't respect anybody, that doesn't work exactly as hard as he does. That's why he had problems in Minnesota, and that's why he's had problems other places. But, you know, as soon as he signed in Miami last summer, I just knew, like, okay, there is no more Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra type of guy than Jimmy Butler, because he's one of these guys who's just in the gym all the time, and he, you know, it's an organization that kind of values that stuff and just and brings in the kind of guys who are just kind of wired the same way as him. So I knew that was going to be a good fit as soon as they signed him, even though he had kind of flamed out a few different other places before that.
Sean Hyken joining me here as we talk about the NBA. He covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. What's the thing that you're most excited to see as someone who just loves ball?
I am interested in seeing Zion Williamson. We talked about that earlier, but also just I'm excited to see LeBron in the playoffs again, because we lose him. You know, we lost him last year. The Lakers didn't make the playoffs last year, so that he was not a factor in the playoffs last year, and that was the first time that's happened basically since his rookie season or his second year in the league or whatever. The first time the Cavs didn't make the playoffs back like at the beginning of his career. And the playoffs were still awesome last year, but now you're adding LeBron back in, and not just LeBron, but like LeBron has been as locked in this year as he's been for a long time. I think that early exit, that early start to his summer actually did him good, because he kind of came back rejuvenated, and he's one of the handful of guys who's actually in the MVP conversation right now. So you have him with this much rest now with 4 months off going into the playoffs. Like, that's going to be pretty exciting again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like, the idea of a healthy and rested LeBron has got to be terrifying for the rest of the teams that are in this.
It is. And the other guy that I think you can put in that same category is James Harden, who in the past has put up these insane numbers during the regular season. And then he kind of burns out by the time the playoffs roll around, because he has just kind of burns himself out. And that's why there's kind of this reputation that he has that, oh, he can't get it done in the playoffs because he goes so hard in the regular season. Now he's going to have 4 months off. And so I think Houston could be kind of dangerous also for the same reason.
There's some coaching news that became official, and that is that Tibbs is going to be the head coach of the Knicks. What advice would you give Tom Thibodeau about working for the Knicks?
I mean, he's going to be – I mean, I think he might have a little bit more security than a lot of other guys do, just because Leon Rose is the president now and Tibbs the CAA guy, and so those guys go way back. So I – think he's going to get, I think, maybe more rope than somebody like David Fizdale did in terms of actually being able to do his thing. And, you know, the Knicks are just, I mean, obviously, like, I'm happy for Tom that he got another job. The Knicks are just not a job that, like, I think is very attractive for most people, just because that organization is such a mess. I'm just much more interested in what now Leon Rose, like, he got his coach, and obviously Tom's a very good coach. For whatever people think about him, he is where he is because he's a really good coach. But that roster, I still just don't think is very good. And, you know, even though just, you know, because they hired Tom, like, he's going to get the most out of guys, and I think they're going to win more games than they did this season. But, like, the roster still isn't very good. I still don't think they're close to being a playoff team. And I think Tom is going to have to he's going to have to be a little bit more patient than maybe he's used to being.
Yeah, that's my concern, that things don't turn around quickly enough for him. And he gets frustrated, and I wonder how he's going to go about handle that. I wish that he were in a better position, Sean, because I just think he's an incredible basketball coach. And I don't know if the Knicks are going to – and I don't mean the organization, although the organization is definitely flawed. I mean the whole Knicks thing, if it's going to allow him to put together the type of – roster and team that allows us to see how good of a coach he is.
Well, that's not really up to him. I think one of the reasons I think this might go better than Minnesota is that he isn't the one who's in charge of building the roster. Because, I mean, I think that was his big downfall in Minnesota. And I wrote a piece about this for Bleacher Report over the weekend when the hiring was first reported. But basically his biggest problem in Minnesota was that he was also the president of basketball operations. And it generally hasn't gone very well when a coach also has personnel control. So I think having Leon Rose and having Worldwide West there kind of running the front office, hopefully, I mean, I think the best case scenario is that just kind of gives him an opportunity to focus just purely more on being the coach and not worrying about trades or roster moves or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, this team is not, I mean, he has a couple of his guys. Taj Gibson is obviously somebody who was with him here in Chicago, but then also in Minnesota, he's still on the Knicks. So he's going to have one of his guys there at least. So you know, maybe that'll help the transition a little bit. But I still think that roster has a long way to go before they can really be competitive for in any real way.
It's been 9 days since they've had a positive test inside that bubble in Orlando. Is it too early to deem this a success, or should the NBA look at this as an incredible success so far?
I think so far it's a success. Now, when you say positive test in the bubble, Michael Beasley technically wasn't in the bubble. He was still kind of in the quarantine period, and they caught it before then, and so he's not on campus anymore. There still have not been a single positive test since they got there, like 3 or 4 weeks ago or whatever. Once people are actually outside of quarantine, they had a couple of guys test positive while they were still in quarantine at the beginning, and they got sent home. But now that everybody's kind of out and about in the bubble, there have been zero positive tests actually among people who are interacting with other people. So far, I think it's a huge success, but the operative words there are so far. Like, it's still so early. Games are starting tonight. We haven't even had any real games. They've been there for a few weeks, but there's still so much more time for something to go wrong, especially once we get past the first round of the playoffs. Players are going to start being allowed to bring their families and their kids in, and that's just adding more people and just more variables and more people who can bring the virus in. And based on what's happening so far, I think we have to say that the bubble has been a success, but there's still a long way to go before we can actually say that definitively.
What's the next thing that you're going to write about?
That's a good question. I'm kind of figuring that out. I just wrote about Tibbs. I just wrote a thing about Dane because, you know, for our NBA restart thing. I have a couple of things coming up that I can't really talk about yet. The one thing that wrote recently that I think people should check out is a piece, and it's pinned to the top of my Twitter profile, which is at Hyken. And it actually has a Chicago connection because I wrote about the 2010 national team that won the FIBA World Cup that had Derrick Rose right before he won MVP, and then also Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook right before they made their leap, and a bunch of other guys kind of at the beginning of their runs. And it just kind of captured all of these guys at that specific moment in their career. That's a piece that I spent a lot of time on. I actually went on Rick Camp's podcast to talk about that a few weeks ago also. So I would say check that out. It's pinned at the top of my profile on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken, Highkin. Campy was talking about the incredible conversation that you guys had about that 2010 team. So, yes, go check that piece out. Go check out Campy's podcast, which is called Basketball Camp. And check out all the stuff that Sean Hyken is working on. Sean, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you, man.
Same here. That is Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report. There's a football thing that I want to talk a little bit about. Me and Herbie were exchanging texts on this last night. Is the way to become the greatest of all time to always feel slighted? We'll discuss next here on...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Score. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk with Deion Thomas about the passing of Lou Henson. Deion, one of the most successful players under Henson. I was watching this, the goings-on on Twitter about the NFL Top 100. Like, this happens every year. Like, we're so understand that I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. It happens every year where the NFL puts out their list before the season starts, and there's someone that's like, wait, why wasn't I on the list? Why was I at this point? I was this thing last year. Now I'm at this point this year. Like, all of this stuff. Well, the person that that's happened for now is Patrick Mahomes. This is the top 10 list from NFL Network's top 100 players of 2020. Number 10, Derrick Henry. Okay, yeah, makes sense. Number 9, Stephon Gilmore. Absolutely. Number 8, DeAndre Hopkins. Okay. Number 7, George Kittle. I'm a fan. Number 6, Christian McCaffrey. Might be the best dual threat player in the game. Number 5, Michael Thomas. Look at all that production he's had over his career with Drew Brees. Number 4 is Patrick Mahomes. Number 3 is Aaron Donald. Produces all the time. Number 2 is Russell Wilson. And number 1 is Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league. I don't think that Russ gets the amount of love that he should, and here he is getting the love that he probably should. But Patrick Mahomes saw this list, and he basically just put a little check mark, like put a notepad with a check mark, because he's got that Jordan thing in him where any sort of slight, he is going to use. Remember the Sunday night game against the Bears last year where he gets the touchdown and then comes running back to the sidelines counting to 10, you know, where he was drafted? I don't know if you have to do it this way, but especially in the era where we've just finished watching The Last Dance, there are going to be a lot of people who are playing at that level that are going to use that template that MJ used. And Patrick Mahomes seems like he is going to do that. Okay. I was amazed to find out that Lou Henson had passed away, and beyond that, that his family kept it quiet, especially these days, that he was able to keep it quiet, that they were able to keep it quiet for as long as they did. That being said, I still wanted to talk about the life and times of Lou Henson.
Deion Thomas is the only Illinois player to crack the 2,000-point barrier. The all-time scoring king led the Illini in scoring in 1992, 93, and 94. He never shot less than 57%. As a matter of fact, he shot 61% as a junior, then 64% his final year. Thomas once hit 19 free throws in a game, led the Illini all 4 years in blocks while scoring a double-double in the 94 NCAA tournament with 19 and 10 against Georgetown.
Deion Thomas is Mr. Illinois basketball, pride of the South Side, been doing all sorts of stuff for Big Ten Network, he's been coaching all over, been playing all over the world, and an Illini legend. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from, and you can go check it out in Melrose Park yourself or at alpamonteford.com. Deion, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you jumping on. What did Lou Henson mean to you?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me. Anytime I get to do something on my hometown radio, it's always a pleasure. So thank you for having me. Thank you for thinking about me when it came to talking about a man that meant a lot to me. And, you know, everyone has a story, of course. I'm sure, you know, anyone that you talk to, they can tell you how Coach Henson touched their lives. But as I like to focus on, and I was telling a lot of people yesterday, he didn't only touch my life, he actually changed the trajectory of my entire family.
How did he do that?
Growing up where I grew up, you know, on the west side of Chicago, and as you mentioned, out in Inglewood on the south side of Chicago, there's very few things for young black men to get into. And most of those things are the ones that, you know, you end up in prison or you end up in the grave for. And that has happened to multiple friends of mine. Somehow, basketball found me. And then Bob Hambrick found me and turned me into a basketball player. And Lou Henson gave me the opportunity to play at one of the best universities in the world, and definitely in this country, to play for one of the best basketball programs in the history of NCAA sports. And he did that by giving me that opportunity. And not just to count what I did on the basketball court, but graduating from the University of Illinois and having my family be able to be a part of that, to celebrate that, I think spurred on my younger brother, who's now working on his third master's degree.
Wow.
I had multiple cousins to go on and get their college degrees, when, to be honest, that wasn't the focus when it was in my family. I mean, again, you're a product most times of where you grow up. And we grew up in the hood, whether it was, like I said, my immediate family that lived on the west side and then moved to Inglewood, or it was my extended family with my cousins and my aunts that lived out in Roseland. You know, you look at the statistics, those are the three most violent areas in the city of Chicago. So that'll tell you, you know, and I've lost family members to the drug game, the gang life, and all of those things. So Lou Henson's taking a chance on this little skinny black kid from Simeon changed my whole family. I was the first one to do it, and there have been multiple to do it after me.
When you get down to Champaign, when it becomes real that you're going to be playing down there for this man who, even by then, had already had a legendary career, what struck you about him being your head coach?
Well, you know, you never know someone until you actually live with them. And, you know, when Coach came on his home visit, where he basically recruited me and recruited my grandmother, you know, my grandmother, when he left, told me, she was like, I trust him. And that was her first time meeting him. But Bernice McGarry was great when it came to picking people out of a lineup really quickly. She was a great judge of character. And you asked what it was like. The guy that sat on the couch and talked to us was the exact same guy that was in practice. He pushed us. He pushed me. I had never heard Coach curse, but yet you knew when he was fired up. You knew when you had done something wrong, but you weren't chastised as, you know, some coaches have done with kids. You were taught, you know, how not to do this again. I mean, you weren't verbally abused. He did it in his own, soft-spoken yet stern way to let you know that these aren't the things you're supposed to do. And at the same time, he was able to teach you not just basketball, but life lessons. And for a bunch of young men that were searching for life lessons.
The teaching aspect of coaching, and we're talking with Deion Thomas here on The Score about Lou Henson, I feel is really, really necessary. And a lot of coaches do fancy themselves educators. Would you say that that is a fair assessment of Lou Henson, that he's coach but also an educator?
Yes. No doubt in my mind. And I think the fans should understand it's not necessarily an educator of books. It's an educator of life and of experiences. Everything you do in the game and in a team sport and in the sports life is reminiscent or reflective of what life is. You know, from working across, and you know the situation and where we are now, you have to learn how to work across color lines. You have to be able to work and talk with and deal with everyone that's on the court, whether it's the coaches on down to your players. And every aspect that you go through on a basketball court, whether it's, you know, injury or struggle, it reflects right back into real life. It reflects into the business world. So any great coach understands that first and foremost, he is an educator and a water spout for young men, for young flowers, to help them bloom and help them grow. And if they're not doing that, then they're not doing their jobs. And that's one of the things that Coach Henson was great at, was helping young boys like myself become men.
Your professional career kind of took you all around the world, and then you settle in Israel. I'm curious, when you get drafted by Dallas and then it ends up that you end up playing overseas, did Coach Henson play a role in talking to you about that, or was that all Dion?
Oh, Lord, no. Coach Henson had a hand in that. Jimmy Collins had a hand in that. And it was really not from a standpoint of telling me what to do or anything of that nature, but it was really getting me to look at those experiences in the big light, in the big picture. You know, because I could have gone to Dallas. Contract was on the table. All I had to do was sign it. But a kid from where I'm from, I wanted to see more because I knew that there was more in the world. And my grandmother used to always tell me, baby, you're bigger than the village, which is the area, you know, what we call it. That's what it was called, the village. She was like, you're bigger than the village. So when that opportunity came up, and we were in the 11th hour of me signing my deal with Dallas, is when the team from Spain called. And I talked to Coach Henson, I talked to Coach Collins, and they were both like, you know, the NBA is not going anywhere. You have an opportunity to do something that most people will not have an opportunity to see, and that's travel and see the world. Because the team I was going to play for was a EuroLeague team, so you're not just only playing in Spain. You're playing in Spain, but yet you're playing in other countries throughout Europe. And so I jumped at that opportunity because that was one of those passions that I had. Now, so happened that I ended up falling in love with it and never coming back to the NBA. But, again, it was my choice, and I'm so glad that they allowed me the freedom to understand what it looked like and what the possibilities were.
Deion Thomas has won 2 EuroLeague championships, 3 Israeli League championships, 3 Israeli Cup championships. And you made your home in Israel. Is it true that you're a citizen of Israel?
It is very true. I have dual citizenship, both American and Israeli citizenship. My wife is Israeli. My 2 daughters were both born. Well, one was born in Spain. My youngest daughter was born in Israel. And, yeah, we made it our home for a time. I mean, it's a great country. More people should go and visit.
That's got to be for a kid who grew up on the west side of Chicago, that has got to be quite the transformative event to be able to go live in a place that has so much incredible history.
Yeah, I mean, and I tell people this all the time. Now, granted, I'm not planning on leaving here anytime soon, but if the good Lord chose for me to come home now, I could not be angry. Because a kid from the west side that lived in Inglewood, to be able to see and do what I have done, the experiences that I've had, you can't be anything but happy. So you're right. I mean, to be able to see and live in Spain for the time that I did, to live in Israel, and as you mentioned, the culture and just all of the history that was there, to be able to put my hands on things that, you know, people couldn't even imagine, is definitely a blessing. And as I tell you, this does not happen if not for Lou Henson.
Deion, when people pass away, we go through this thing where obviously we're mourning. And as I've gotten older, I feel like one of the ways that we can honor those people that have gone is try to add something from them to our own personality. So I'll ask you, what do you hope people learn from the life and career of Lou Henson?
Well, I'm going to expand on what you said. I agree with you about adding it to us, but we have to make sure that we pass it on and spread it out through the world. So everyone gets to experience what they experience. But to answer that question, it's you have to really look at who and how Coach Henson was. As I mentioned earlier, never used a curse word. At least I never heard him use one. And the way he handled himself in the face of adversity was always with supreme class. So first and foremost, that's the first thing you do. Regardless of what you're going through, you cannot allow your emotions to cause you to be something that you're not. You have to act with supreme class. How he treated people. He treated everyone with respect. And I think anyone will tell you, if he was at an event, he was always the last one normally out of that event because he stood and he talked to everyone as if he knew them. So these are two of the things, how you treat people, how you act with people, the kindness that you can give to people, the time that you can give to people is all extremely valuable. And those are some of the lessons that, you know, again, my grandmother picked them out in the beginning. That's how she was. That's how Coach Henson was. And that's how I hope to live my life.
Deion, I really, really appreciate your time. And thank you, because I know this is not easy for those who were close with Lou Henson. I would very much like to get you back on the show again where we could focus a lot more on you and your career, because I think there's a lot to learn from that, too.
Would love to do it. And I'll tell you this. No, it's not easy, but it's necessary. Because I think more people need to understand who he was, because I don't think he gets the respect as a coach that he should. I mean, there are very few people. He's the all-time leading coach in wins at two different universities. He has the floor named after him in two different universities. I think there may be one other person that has ever had that happen. So that just tells you his level of coaching. And I was in did an interview yesterday, and people talk about great coaches. I said, you understand when someone is great, not just as a coach, but as a person, when things don't go well. Man, during my first 2 years at Illinois, my second year for sure, we were playing with walk-on the team. I mean, we had walk-on starting. Not to knock any of the walk-ons, but you're not a scholarship player, so you weren't recruited there to come there and be one of the top players, and we still had a winning record. That'll tell you how great a coach that man was.
Deion, thank you so much for your time and your perspective.
My pleasure. Looking forward to being on again. Just let me know when you need.
You got it. That is Deion Thomas. Look, when anyone talks about someone that they loved who passed, like it's going to be riveting. But then you add in all of the other stuff that Deion has done in his career. Man, that is some perspective right there. A lot of it. And I'm glad that he shared it. And I appreciate you sticking with it and listening to it. We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score. A couple people were hitting me up via the text line, and I appreciate you asking about the FanDuel Sports app. Some people are downloading it. I guess it's not on Google Play yet, but I have an iPhone. I've got Apple, and I downloaded it. So if you do download it, use my name as a promo code, Lawrence, L-A-U-R-E-N-C-E, and you will get hooked up on FanDuel, which is good, and games start tonight, so FanDuel Sportsbook app. Oh, I guess since I'm talking about it, I probably have to do, like, the legal thing, too. All right, so hang on. Let me find the legal thing, because I want to make sure that I get everything right. But if you haven't downloaded the FanDuel Sportsbook app, do it. Get in on some of the NBA action if that's something that you like to do. I don't want you to do it if you're not, but if you're someone who likes to bet some props or some over-unders, there's some good props. There's a prop right now on who's going to score the first NBA basket in the restart. So you can do that. You must be 21 or older. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER. The Patrick Mahomes thing is really funny to me. I like it. I was just wondering if he is going to, if we are seeing the beginning of of a Jordan-esque type deal, if that's how he's going to run it. By the way, I think that it's dope that he is now part owner of the Kansas City Royals, the youngest owner in history. That's crazy. What a smart move by him. I talked a little bit about this on LoHo Daily yesterday, but the idea that Patrick Mahomes was like, I'm going to buy a Ferrari and I'm going to buy into something that actually will have resale value, into being the one of the owners of the Royals. Like, that's, man, that is dope. That is so dope. It just, in a summer when there's been a lot of change in the way that we perceive a ton of different things, I think this is one of those steps forward. I think eventually we're going to look back on this as a significant moment and be like, oh yeah, you know, you have a minority owner becoming a minority owner, and it's the best football player on the planet. You talk about a guy that has figured out that he, where he wants to be and how to ingratiate himself with the people that he plays for. Patrick Mahomes is 100% done that. And I applaud him for it. I think it's a very powerful gesture and smart business move on his part. I just got the text from Shep. So every day I get a text from Shep. He sends me a gorgeous picture of his daughter so that I can be reminded to tell you what's coming up with McNeil and Parkins. Today, Shep caught his wife and daughter sleeping, and it's really, really awesome. He would like for me to tell you that Terry Bors is going to be on with McNeil and Parkins at 3 o'clock today. You don't have to ask me to promote that. The man himself is going to be on at 3 o'clock? I would suggest that you tune in. You should probably just tune in before that, because I know that those guys are going to have things to say about what happened in the Cubs game last night, what happened in the White Sox game last night, and what the hell is going on in Major League Baseball overall. Thanks to our guests today. Deion Thomas, he was amazing. Same with Sean Hyken and Bruce Miles. Thanks to Herb Lawrence for all of his hard work on this very radio show. I will be back tomorrow at noon. We will finish out the week strong and talk a lot of baseball with you. Thanks for listening. McNeil and Parkins are next.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.